Grade 2 Conference, Lecture 2, The Second Grader, Part 2. So, I have enough twos there, I hope, for us to be living in the spirit of second grade. It's not at all unusual for a class teacher who has worked hard and well and successfully in grade 1 to be able to look back at the end of that first grade year and feel, well, no, not everybody has the alphabet down yet, and a few children have no idea what division is, and I certainly have my work cut out for me, but I can at least take satisfaction in the social relationships of the children. They know each other, they like each other, they know one another's names. The boys and the girls will hold hands and not even think about it anymore. And this is not an unusual matter. Grade 1 is a time to build up these strong social connections. The Waldorf curriculum gives us many helpful ways of doing this. And the training that a Waldorf teacher receives on the whole also makes them aware of the social needs of children of these ages. So first grade ends really well in that way. And second grade begins well in that way. And then, surprise, suddenly, and it can be from one day to the next, or certainly from one month to the next, everything seems to fall apart. The children are quarreling with each other in recess, sometimes even being a little rough with one another. The first graders are complaining that the second graders wrecked the beautiful hill that they built in the sandbox, or that they went, maybe there's a little wooded space there, and the first graders were trying to build a little hut, and the second graders came later and tore it down. And first graders will complain that second graders are terrorizing them in one way or another. What's going on with my class? The boys and the girls, not that they won't hold hands, they won't even look at each other. They're dividing into two groups. And sometimes it's as though everybody is against one person. Sometimes it's as though the class develops a kind of pariah feeling, and no matter what you say and do, it's the group against one. And I can only say to you, though at the moment when all of this starts to happen, it will be very cold comfort to you, but this is not only normal, it's actually healthy. It's not only healthy, but in fact, when it happens, it shows that you probably really did a good job in grade one, that you led the children to a point where the unity that they had could not be any better. So what happens when things are like that in life? They tend to go the other way. One reached sort of the top of the mountain, and the only path left was downhill. But fortunately, downhill in a different direction. Downhill actually going up, going forward. And one has to realize that this division, this schism in second grade, as I said just a few moments ago in the previous lecture, this division is part and parcel of the grade. It is its name, two, rather than one. And think of all of the things in life that have to do with division. You know, male and female, positive and negative, electricity, numbers, feelings, attitudes, sympathy, antipathy, up and down. What are we talking about here? What is it in the fourfold human being that is in its very nature inherently polarized, can never find unity in and of itself, but is always working divisively? This is the astral body. So we can say that not living in the children yet by any means, that's really the 9-year change, and you see that happening in a very definite way, but living in the nature of the class. It can be that when the children get together on a personal level, when you have a play date or parents have a play date, that even the pariah of the class and the leader of those who are persecuting that poor child can actually get together perfectly well on a play date. But when they're in the classroom, when they're with the group, when they are second graders, then the polarizations occur. And it's as though the group is getting ready, or the group is beginning to incorporate its group astrality, getting the individual children ready for the year to come. And this is why it is a good thing and an important thing, because it helps you get a preview of what these children will be like at age 9, in the same way that I tell parents, be grateful for the 9-year change, because it gives you as a parent a preview of what your child will be like as an adolescent. And then you can prepare for that, and forewarned is forearmed, and you can be ready to meet that in the same way you as a teacher can see not so much the individual children, but the class as a whole, what it is going to be like in third grade. Because there are certain second grades in which these divisions are almost violent. They're so strong and powerful, and teachers just get completely thrown off base by it. There are others where the division is there, but it's gentler, it's more, you know, under control, and it has little to do with the personality character of the teacher. It's not the teacher's doing one way or another. It is just the nature of the group, of the children, the way this is going to come about in grade 2. With this in mind, we're going to take some time to look at the fourfold human being. For those of you who have taken the grade 1 online conference, some of this will be repetitive. However, some of it will be looked at in a slightly different way because the children are a few months or even a year older than they were in first grade. So this is what grade 2 is about. It's not always looking for the great, gross, huge changes, though I have described the ones that are pretty predictable, which is this kind of division, divisive quality that lives in the class. But a lot of it is living with the nuances, with the subtle changes, the differences that occur from the end of first grade throughout second grade. And here's one way of looking at it, that we could say every year, every grade can be divided into 3 fairly distinct parts. The first third of that grade carries with it the twilight of the grade that came before. The younger the child, the more the twilight persists. And you probably have some children in the class who haven't even gone through their second dentition yet. For many children, that's coming later and later. When that isn't there, no matter how smart they are, no matter how worldly wise they may seem to be, their consciousness is still connected very much with the life of first grade, sometimes even kindergarten. You will still have some children in a second grade, not many, but you'll have one or two at least, whose voices haven't quite come down a register or two, who still have their baby fat, or who still act in a certain way much younger. But even the ones who are older, even the ones who are already 8 or nearly there, in the first third of first grade, and I would say it's not going to necessarily break down mathematically into exact thirds, but certainly up until Advent time, even up until your winter vacation in December, those children are still going to be carrying something of the tail of the comet, as it were, of first grade will be there with them. And this is a good time to review your form drawings from first grade, to make sure the children know their letters, to go over the four operations. You have the time, you have the mission, really, the very important task of making sure that you consolidate what they learned in grade one. And for those who are new to the class, all the more so that you want to work on all of that to bring them up to speed. And then following what we used to call Christmas vacation, whatever you would call it, coming back in January, from January to about mid-March, or what we used to call around Easter time, Easter vacation, this is where the grade itself speaks. You really have the grade per se. So now the children are second graders, and this can be when the divisions that may have already been showing up in the autumn recesses now become sort of inherent, very strongly fixed in the class. And you're going to be wanting, especially working with fables and the saint stories, we'll see how these can help to bring these divisions to consciousness. I'm not going to say they're going to wipe them out. And they will be there, but they'll allow the children to awaken to them and perhaps take a step beyond them. And if I can say something here which may not be altogether popular with your colleagues may run contrary to some things that many, many Waldorf schools have been working towards, you may have a kind of strongly anti-bullying policy in your school. You may have various committees and groups that work with this and nip it in the bud as soon as it appears and so on. And I would say that this is well and good and probably has been very helpful in many schools. Whether bullying has been eliminated, I don't think so. Whether one could say, yes, the bullying situation in our school is much, much better than it was 3 or 4 years ago, that's not so easy to compare. But whatever, I would just say, in second grade, I would say, leave the bullying alone as best you can. What used to be called benign neglect, you have to let a little of it go on, because it is of the nature of grade two. One cannot simply say this kind of behavior or this or that is absolutely not permitted. We cannot allow it at all, at any time, in any place. Life is not so simple, and human development is not so simple as that. And actually, in grade two, within reason, within limits, and you, the teacher, are going to have to be the arbiter of that, within limits, a certain amount of bullying may have to occur so that the children experience what it is, not just because somebody tells them what bullying is and that you shouldn't do it, but they can experience it from both sides, perhaps. And it starts to work in them, and then one can speak about it in a very different way. As I say, you may not be able to do this at all. Things may be so far along in your school in terms of anti-bullying that there's no way of allowing it to happen in the most limited way. But I just bring this to you, that second grade it is kind of the orphan of the Waldorf curriculum, because in certain ways, different rules, different laws apply here than do in the other grades. Now we will take a look at the fourfold human being from the point of view of the second grader.